Hi, welcome to Life Church Online. I'm Pastor Tim.
And I'm Pastor Harriet, and we are so glad that you've joined us today. Welcome home. We love you.
Hey, we want to let you know, if you are watching us online for the very first time, then we would like to connect with you. Simply use your phone and text WELCOME to 910-400-1123 and then follow the prompts.
And if you want to share a prayer request with us, then you can use your phone for this too. Just text the word PRAYER to 910-400-1123. Our leadership team will pray for you because we believe in the power of prayer.
Yes, we do. Now let's get ready to lean in to another faith-filled service. Hey everybody, welcome to Life Church Online. I'm so glad you're with us today from wherever you may be, whether you're on the couch, maybe you're in bed, maybe you're at the kitchen table in your car, office, wherever you are. I am so glad you're here. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is able to work through our online messages and use these to strengthen our life. Hey, I have a quick question for you before we get started. Are you ready for in-person church services? Well, we probably all are to some degree. I just want to give you a quick update that we really don't know what our governor is going to decide in the next few weeks, but I want you to know that our leadership team is getting ready. We are going to be prepared so that whenever he does give us the opportunity to have an in-person service, we will be ready. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like, and honestly, there are many people that really don't need to be here when we first open the doors. And so it would be wise for many people to stay home. And because of that, I just want to assure you that we're going to have both some in-person type services, but we're going to stay really strong with our online church services so that we can all be together. We are one church, one message, one service, and so we'll do it together one way or another. I just want to let you know, we just don't know, but we're going to be ready for whatever comes. I also have another kind of fun announcement I want to share with you, and many of you know my heart, our church's heart, when it comes to being kingdom-minded in our city. Very often when we have our in-person services, we pray for other churches, and it's just always been our heart to be in unity with other churches in our city. I like to think of it like this, that I want to make the name of Jesus the priority in our city more than the name of our church in this city. And so what we're going to do is have a collaborative worship night this Wednesday with another church in town. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to log on to our Facebook page somewhere between 7:45 and 8 o'clock this Wednesday. From our page, you'll see a link to where you'll be able to go to this collaborative worship site that we have set up. And we're going to be partnering with Life Point Church, and we're going to have a collaborative worship set together. Pastor Jeff is a good friend of mine, and he and I are going to both do a devotion. Our worship teams will be working together, and so we're going to have a worship set, a worship prayer night together. And so that's this Wednesday. I really hope you'll tune in for that. And it's just another way for us as a church to demonstrate our heart for the city through kingdom-minded thinking. And I'm so appreciative of our friends at Life Point Church. They have been gracious to us even through some of this season where we have recorded some of our worship sets from their platform. And so big shout out to them, our friends. And so that's coming this Wednesday. I really hope you'll tune in for that. Awesome, awesome. Well, let me get started today with prayer. Wherever you are, would you just take this moment, bow your heads with me, and let's just begin today with some prayer. Father, we come to you today, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would just move through today's message. I pray, Father, that you would save people, heal people, set people free, and strengthen us through the message, through this service today. God, I know that you can do it. I know that your Holy Spirit can move through whatever platforms we have. And so, God, we ask that you do your work. Help us to lean into your message in Jesus' name. And if you're at home, go ahead and give me an amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Let me have you fill in a blank for me. You can just see it on the screen, fill in this blank. When life gives you lemons, then make, it's pretty obvious, you make lemonade. We've named our series that we're beginning today, When Life Gives You Lemons. Lemons are sour. I don't know if you've bitten into a lemon lately. I looked at some little kids online on YouTube this week, Quinn. They were biting into a lemon, and they made these hilarious faces. And when you bite into a lemon, you know, you make that sour face. You know, it's just, you know, all those crazy faces. I feel like right now life is giving us a lot of lemons, and maybe we have those funny faces. Maybe they're faces of pain. So what we want to do is to take this series and help us learn how to deal with life when it hands us lemons, how we can make lemonade. This series is going to be completely out of the book of Philippians. I love the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul wrote about joy, he wrote about thanksgiving, he wrote about his purpose in life while going through many trials. As a matter of fact, he wrote the book of Philippians from prison, and he wrote about joy from prison. I believe that life had given Paul a lot of lemons, and he knew how to handle it. And so from his book, the book of Philippians, we're going to study this for the next few weeks, and we're going to find out how we can get through our current season, whatever you're going through. Let me get started today with a little bit about the book of Philippians, just to give us a little idea about this book. First of all, it was written by the Apostle Paul. He established the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. I mentioned this a minute ago, but Paul wrote the book of Philippians from prison. Some scholars think he actually wrote it from being under house arrest. And so in some way he was quarantined, maybe to a house or to a prison, and from that particular place he wrote this amazing letter that we read called Philippians. The word joy or rejoice is mentioned 16 times throughout this book. It's not a long book, it's only four chapters, and 16 times he mentions about joy in this book. Philippians is probably the most quoted book of all the books in the Bible. The verses in Philippians are so powerful, and many of them have made it to, you know, mugs, coffee mugs, and maybe pillows on people's couches. And let me just read you some of these amazing verses as we just get a broader look at the book of Philippians. Out of Philippians 1:6, this is a verse that we'll look at in a few minutes, but it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Great verse. Philippians 1:21 says, Paul wrote this, he said, "For to me, to live is Christ and die is gain." In other words, he's saying, whether I'm alive or whether I go to heaven, it's all a gain. What a great perspective. Philippians 3:13, I know you know this verse. It says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I will press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me." Another great verse. I love Philippians 4:4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And to make his point, he said, "I'll say it again, rejoice." Philippians 4:6, probably a verse that I need to hurry to and preach on this one, but it says, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything." That could probably be a life motto for us. Philippians 4:8, it says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Philippians is just full of great verses. Philippians 4:11, Paul says this. He says, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Now, remembering that he wrote this from prison, and he is writing about being content in his circumstances. Philippians 4:13, maybe the most famous verse, I'm sure you've heard of this one. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This book is amazing. I'll share one last verse, maybe my favorite out of this whole section. This is Philippians 4:19. It says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When I was studying the book of Philippians and I listed out all these verses, I thought, man, if a preacher can't find something to preach about out of the book of Philippians, he or she probably needs to get a new job because this book is so amazing. All right, so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at six verses. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can grab that. And my sermon title today is Everyday Joy. Everyday Joy. You can have joy every day. Kind of seems impossible, but Paul gives us three keys to how we can have joy every day out of Philippians chapter 1, 1 through 6. Let me give you the first key as we get started today. The first key to having everyday joy, joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. So in Philippians chapter 1, first two verses, Paul writes this. He says, "This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons." Verse 2, "May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." You see, Paul is teaching us that grace and peace comes from the Lord. It comes from God. We don't find peace from the world. We find peace by being close to God, by being in God, and it comes from God. That's where we find peace in our life. And not just peace, but we find joy from the Lord. Joy is from the Lord. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Whose joy is it? It's the Lord's strength. And it's the Lord that gives us strength. It's not the circumstance. It's the Lord who gives us our joy. In the book of Galatians, it lists the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, this is what the Spirit of God produces inside of us. And he says that it produces joy inside of us out of Galatians 5:22. So joy comes from the Lord. Now, anyone that knows me knows that my personality is a pretty happy personality. I'm a pretty joyful person. I'm kind of somewhat of a free spirit, and I like that about myself. Things that would kind of be true of me, I see life as the glass half full. I tend to think, you know, the sun is always coming up, and I tend to say things like, the best is yet to come, and because that's just kind of my personality, and I'm just kind of wired that way. And so you might be thinking, well, of course, Pastor Tim, you're preaching this sermon on joy. It would come easy to you. But the reality is I didn't write Philippians, and so it's not about my personality. Paul didn't have that kind of personality. He didn't have the same personality I have. As a matter of fact, let me tell you just a little bit about Paul, because Paul probably wouldn't be that happy-go-lucky guy. Paul's personality was pretty intense. He was confrontational. He was bold. He was critical in his thinking. He was demanding. He was brave. He was possibly dealing with some anger issues from his past. I say that because if you remember, before Paul became a believer, he persecuted the church by going to home churches and pulling out those believers and having them beaten. He even oversaw the stoning to death of Stephen. Paul wouldn't be listed as a happy-go-lucky guy. Happiness and joy probably weren't his go-to mode. Paul had to find joy outside of himself and not from the circumstances in life. Paul had to find joy from the Lord, just like you and I. Joy is not about personality. It's not about our circumstances. Our circumstances certainly can make us happy. Like, I'm happy when my team wins the game. I'm happy when I get to be with my friends or family. I'm happy when I play a game and win. I love that, and it makes me happy. Happiness, church, comes from what happens to you. Happiness comes from what happens to you. Joy comes from what happens inside of us. It's the joy of the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord inside of us. So we can have everyday joy because it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on our personalities. It's based on God being inside of us. And so I would recommend to you that every day you ask the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, would you help me be joyful today? And the Holy Spirit will help you. That's the part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so there's a promise that you can have joy every day in your life because joy is from the Lord and He is inside of you. The second key for joy today, number two, joy comes from remembering the good in life. Joy comes from remembering the good in life. Let's pick back up in Philippians verse 3. Paul said, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Every time I think of you, Paul said, I give thanks to God with joy. Every single time Paul looks back at his time with the church in Philippi, he has good memories. Every time he looks back, he sees the good in his experience there. And I was thinking, I'm a church planter and Paul planted a church there. And I was thinking, my church planting experience, I don't know that I look back and think, man, everything was good. Every time I look back, it was awesome. I don't think that's the way I normally think. Paul said every time, every single time he looks back at that experience. Paul must have had a different experience than mine. He must have had everything work out. Everybody must have loved him and he must have not had any troubles. I don't think so. That's not how it happened. Let me remind you of Paul when he went to Philippi and when he planted the church there, what his experience really was. We know this experience because we read Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read the chapter to you. It's an amazing chapter. You ought to read Acts 16 sometime after today's service because it's an amazing story of Paul establishing the church in Philippi. But let me give you the kind of the story, the bullet point, so you can understand that when Paul was there in Philippi, everything wasn't great. Here's the story. Paul and his friend Silas arrived in Philippi. And they went outside the city down by a river where they had heard that there were some people there that might be open to hearing the message of Jesus Christ. And so they began to preach there and people began to give their life to Christ and they baptized people right there in the river. And so while they were doing this over a period of days, there happened to be this slave girl that was owned by some men who were making money off of her demonic, she had a demon inside of her that was helping her tell fortunes to others. And so she was somehow a fortune teller and her owners were making money off of her. And while Paul was preaching there by the river, she would be disrupting him and she would be making statements. And somewhere along the way, Paul got irritated, exasperated with this girl who was interrupting him. And so he cast the demon out of her. He's like, you're out of there, demon, cast a demon out of her. And when that happened, the owners got really mad about it because now they couldn't make money off of her demonic possession. And so they grabbed Paul. They took Paul and Silas to the magistrate's office there in Philippi. And then they immediately arrested them without trial. They stripped Paul, Silas of their clothes. They beat them with wooden rods until their back was bloodied. They were scarred from the beatings. Then they took them into the lowest part of the prison, which would be like a dungeon, where all of human waste would flow down to this place. And that's where they placed Paul and Silas. They locked chains on their legs and chained them to the wall. Now the story goes on to say that somewhere that first night, Paul and Silas were there, and Paul comes up with this idea to start singing praises. Paul somehow finds joy even in that moment in a prison, And he begins to sing hymns to the Lord. And when that happens, an earthquake happens. It frees them from prison. The jailer ends up giving his life to Christ, and his family gets baptized. And all of this happens because Paul found joy in prison. The story goes on to say that the magistrates had found out that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, and they had been falsely accused. And so they tried to do a cover-up story. And so they tried to run Paul and Silas out of town as fast as they could. So here's my point in that whole story from Acts chapter 16. Paul said, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks with joy." Every time Paul thinks back about that experience, he thinks about the good things. He remembers the good about life. How many of you would probably not have been like Paul? How many of us, including myself, might have looked back at that experience through a different lens? We might have looked back at Philippi and we might have said something like, "Well, every time I think back about Philippi, I'm reminded because of the scars on my back. Every time I look back, I think about being falsely accused. And every time I look back, I think about the city leaders who did me dirty and they tried to run me out of town." I mean, Paul would have been very justified in thinking that way. And honestly, it's human nature for us to recount the negative things in life. It's just human nature that we would recount every time someone has wronged us. It's human nature for us to recount all the bad things that happen. That's just human nature in us. And everyone that's listening has a list of people who have done you wrong. If I pulled out my list, it would look like the CVS receipt because we've all had enough people who have done us wrong. We all have a list of bad experiences in our past. And our human nature is always to rehearse those bad experiences. It's to rehearse those stories. And we play them over and over again in our minds. But church, listen, if you choose to rehearse the negative, if you choose to rehearse the bad things, if you choose to rehearse the hurts of your past, then you are choosing a life without joy. It's your choice. It's my choice. We can decide. Paul, amazing. He looked back and said, "Every time I think back, he thinks about the good. He has joy from it." Joy cannot thrive in an environment where we are rehearsing our negative past experiences. Because every time you rehearse something, you are just planting that seed deeper into your soul. And out of that, it will produce bitterness and discouragement and a lack of trust in other people. You know, once we get to that kind of a place, we begin to build walls. We want to protect ourselves from others because we don't want to be hurt again. And instead of building walls to protect us, we end up building a prison that traps us. In one way, we might think that we are insulating ourselves from people, but in reality, we are isolating ourselves from people, and we make our world really small. Paul said, "Every time I think of you," he said, "I have thanksgiving and joy." It's not because there were only easy circumstances. It's because he made a choice to focus on the things that were good. He made a choice to focus on the people that were being saved. He made a choice to think about the people that were being baptized and the earthquake, the miracle of an earthquake that brought him freedom. And he thought about the faithfulness of this church, and it brought him great joy. It brought him thanksgiving. And so I want you today to think about this, that you can have everyday joy. And we have to remember, though, in order to get that everyday joy, we have to begin to remember the good in life. Think about it like this. Unhappy people rehearse the bad and forget the good. Unhappy people, they rehearse the bad, forget the good. Joyful people, they rehearse the good and forget the bad. I want to be a joyful person. Right now in your current situation, what are you rehearsing? What are you forgetting? Are you building an environment for joy to come out because you are rehearsing the good and forgetting the bad? And so today, so far, 2 points, 2 keys to joy. One is joy comes from the Lord. Number two, joy comes from remembering the good in life. And our third point comes from one of the very famous verses that Paul has written in Philippians. And in verse 6, Paul says this. Paul says, "I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He who began a good work within you, he will continue this work until he's finished. And this gives me my third key point for today, that joy comes from confidence in God continuing to work in my life and in your life. Joy comes from confidence in God continuing to work in our life. You see, God began a good work and he'll continue to work in your life. In other words, let me say it like this. God never stops working in your life. He never stops. He's always in your life. He's always part of your life. What this means is God will continue to grow you through all circumstances. He will continue to be with you. You need to know that God is always for you. He's never against you. That's what this is talking about, that he began this work and he will not leave the work inside of us. He will continue to cover us with his grace, regardless of what's going on in life. His forgiveness will never end. He will never abandon us in the middle of a struggle. He will never stop strengthening us by his Spirit. He will never stop building our life. That's what this verse is all about. He is working in our life and he will continue to work in our life, and God will continue to build your life. It doesn't matter what's going on in any other place. God is building your life. I like to think of it like this. God has a plan for your life and he's going to see you through it. That's what this verse is telling us. He has a plan for your life and he's going to see you through it. He won't give up. He stays for you, with you at all times. This gives me great joy because bad circumstances aren't ruining my life. Bad circumstances aren't ruining your life because God is at work in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter about coronavirus. None of that matters. What matters is that God is working in our life. Bad circumstances aren't going to ruin your life. That's good news. Let me say it like this. I like to say it in a fun way. Circumstances can't ruin my life when God is running my life. Circumstances can't ruin my life when God is running my life. You see, when I'm sold out to Jesus, when I'm following hard after God, then I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. Now, does that mean everything in life is going to work out? Well, of course not. Everything never just works out. Some things work out, some things don't. But because God is working inside of me, it's not about what's happening out there. I can be fine. I can be good inside. And listen, when I'm good on the inside, I can handle the struggles on the outside. It's so comforting that God is at work in our life. Philippians 1:6 says, "I'm certain that God, who began a good work within us, he will continue that work." He's going to continue working in your life. Regardless of what's going on, he's got you. He's got you. That's great joy for me. God's bigger than any circumstance, and he's got you. And we can be good on the inside. So as I wrap this up, let me give you 3 practical ways to apply this. Almost as a recap, 3 things to practice having everyday joy in your life. Number one, every day, ask the Holy Spirit to give you joy. Every day, ask the Holy Spirit. When you start your morning, "Holy Spirit, will you help me have joy?" Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you when you're moving out of joy. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you when you're moving into negativity. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you when you start remembering things that are negative and bad. Ask the Holy Spirit to produce joy in your life. Every day, ask the Holy Spirit to give you joy. Number two, every day, Think and thank about the good in your life. Think and thank. It's kind of funny. Think and thank. Every day, think about the good that's in your life. I know there's a lot of bad things happening in our world, but I know you can find some good things too. I know there's some good things that you can put your mind on, your focus on. And then begin to thank God for those things that are happening in your life that are good. So think and thank about the good in your life. And the last easy point for today, every day, quote Philippians 1:6. If you'll quote that all week long, every day you quote that. And what you need to know is that as you quote it, you're reminding yourself that God is for you. He's got you. He's going to carry you. You're going to get through this because you need to know that He is at work in your life at all times, and He's not going to quit. He's always for you. Amen, church. Life may be giving you some lemons right now. I get it. Our culture's feeling it. Jobs are at losses, and businesses are down. We're hoping they pick up soon. But in the meantime, before things get back to normal, I believe the Holy Spirit can help you have joy every day, because joy isn't dependent on what's going on outside of us. The joy comes from the Lord inside of us. Let me pray for you, church. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that your strength of joy is inside of us, God. And Lord, I pray that you would cause your Holy Spirit to remind us every day to walk in joy. In moments when we find ourselves remembering bad things and thinking negatively, I ask that Holy Spirit would spark within us just a prompting to remind us to think about the good, to help us create an environment that joy can come out of. And so God, I pray this today. God, I pray over my church. God, I bless my church today. Lord, I ask that you'll just strengthen your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One last thing before we finish, maybe the most important thing I do today, and that's give an opportunity for anybody that's listening that has never begun a relationship with Jesus to pray this real short prayer, and you can give your life to Christ. You can begin a brand new life today. And so I'll encourage you to pray this with me. Dear God, I confess that I have sinned and I need your forgiveness. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave to give me a new life. I receive my salvation today. My life will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We believe if you prayed that prayer from your heart that you are saved and all your sins are forgiven. We would love to help you take your next step with that. If you would just do me a favor today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you text the word SAVED to 910-400-1123, and we'll help you follow up. Church, I love you. I hope you have a great day. And remember, the joy is from the Lord, and you can have joy every day. God bless, church.